Welcome to Component 4, which is entitled Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This is specifically Unit 8, which has the name Security. In this unit, our objectives include gaining the abilities to list and describe common security concerns, describe safeguards against common security concerns, including firewalls, encryption, virus protection software and patterns, programming for security, and so on. Describe security concerns for wireless networks and how to address them. List security concerns and regulations that relate to healthcare applications. And finally, describe security safeguards used for healthcare applications. We can't have a discussion about security without mentioning wireless networking. Wireless networks are insecure by their very nature because typically they're open, allowing anybody to connect. And so wireless networks include home networks, hotspots, and hotspots include airports, coffee shops, hotels, and even citywide wireless access points, and college campus environments, hospitals, and so on. Indeed, wireless networks are everywhere in the medical environment because doctors and nurses tend to move from room to room constantly, and they're using wireless communication when that occurs, if they're using devices that are handheld and not connected to a wire. Therefore, wireless security starts with the configuration of our wireless access point, or WAP. A wireless access point is your wireless router that you would have in your home environment. Wireless access points in a corporate environment are much more robust than those that we use at home. And so some things that we can do to configure our wireless access points for security include changing the default password. These wireless routers are shipped with default passwords, and this means that anyone can look up the default password for your router on the internet. We should also select a unique SSID. The SSID is an abbreviation or an acronym for the service set identifier for your wireless network. In other words, it's the name of your network. Then, we should not broadcast our SSID, and this is a setting within the wireless access point. If you don't broadcast your SSID, it's harder, but not impossible, for others to find and then connect to your wireless network. Next, we could require WPA2 authentication. Many of you are familiar with WEP, the Wireless Equivalency Protocol, and this is an older technology that should not be used. WPA version 2, and this is Wireless Protected Access version 2 protection, is a much better choice. And then we can restrict access to known devices. We can program MAC addresses, for example, into the access point's memory. All network interface cards, or NICs, have their own address, which is known as a MAC, and this is the Media Access Control address. And typically it's stamped right on the NIC that's installed in your computer. It's a hexadecimal character set. Modern wireless access points allow administrators to allow only recorded MAC addresses to authenticate themselves on the WAP and then communicate wirelessly. Another thing that we can do to improve security on our network is to install what's referred to as a digital certificate on sensitive devices. Therefore, only devices with known and valid certificates can communicate on our network. This type of a setup requires the use of special certificate servers, and this is usually not found in small offices because it's complex. So look at the screen and notice the green image on the bottom. And this shows a partial browser address bar with a valid bank certificate in Windows 7 Internet Explorer version 8. And so if you start from the left, you'll see that we are at the Umpqua Bank in Oregon Bank. And then as you move from the left to the right, you'll see the gold lock. If you click the gold lock, then you'll be able to view the bank certificate. And you can, when you view the bank certificate, you can view more details as, for example, who issued it, how long it's valid for, and so on. You should try this by communicating with your bank. Open up a browser, and then look at the screen that appears when you connect to your bank, especially when you go to the screen that you would use to log in. You should have a very similar setup. The address bar should turn green, and you should see the gold lock. When this happens, it tells us that the browser was able to find a valid certificate from the certificate's issuer and then allow you to access that site without warning. Security with certificates is also a very complex topic. Indeed, I would say that all security topics are complex. That's why most colleges have courses in security, a full course in security, at least one course. Certificates can be used in wired and wireless environments. In many cases, all wireless access points have certificates installed on them, and so then the organization knows which access points are allowed to authenticate users. Every time that you open a browser and perform online banking, your browser checks your bank's certificate to ensure that it's valid. And again, in Windows Vista and Windows 7, the browser address bar turns green when the certificate is invalid. If the address bar turns red, the certificate is invalid, and this means that you should close your browser and not connect to that site. Wireless device security includes smartphones and smart devices. You might walk around a hospital setting and see nurses and doctors that are communicating wirelessly using small handheld devices. Well, all portable devices that connect to the network need antivirus protection software installed, and the patterns have to be up to date. In fact, you should not use a portable device for sensitive transactions such as banking and viewing medical records unless that device is AV protected. So if you are viewing your medical information on a smart device, or you're doing your banking from that device, or both, then this means that if you're doing email on that device, you should not open email or attachments from unsolicited or unknown sources. As a side note, we should add that even known sources might be virus infected, meaning that they did not send the email or its attachments to you, that it was done by a virus. And so you really have to be careful when you're using these devices and have security in mind. And when we talk about smartphones and all of these rules that are listed here on the screen, we really can't have any exceptions to these rules. All devices must adhere to our policy. You've probably noticed that as I've walked through this discussion on security, I've made a number of references to healthcare and our medical information. And this is because the U.S. government's stated goal for a number of years now has been to have most Americans with electronic health records by the year 2014. And so, with this in mind, this means that a lot of our private and confidential information will be accessible through web browsers and through wireless devices. And so if these devices are not secure, then our medical information is at risk. And you might remember at the beginning of this discussion, we said that this information can be stolen. It can also be compromised. In other words, information could be falsely entered or even changed by somebody with bad intent. And so it's very important that we understand the application of security with healthcare. And so why does the government want Americans to use electronic health record systems? Well, this is mainly to improve quality of care, decrease cost, and then ensure privacy and security of the data. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. When we move things online, how do we improve and ensure privacy and security? Another thing that we need to keep in mind is that a lot of the work that's being done through hospitals and through even banking environments is being outsourced to countries outside of the United States. And so if we have medical transcriptionists in countries other than the United States, these countries will have different cultural values and even EHR regulations. How do we protect our data when it is on the other side of the world being used by folks who perhaps aren't being paid well? This is another thing that we need to consider as we move towards the implementation of these records on a wide scale. In addition to the things that I've already mentioned, other things that we should be concerned about when we talk about the security of health data is the fact that we might have somebody else's information in our records, so our record would be incorrect. We might be discriminated against in employment. denied employment or even denied health coverage based on pre-existing conditions. Personal privacy might be violated, and this would occur when friends and family and others find out about embarrassing but non-infectious medical conditions that we might have. And then we should be concerned because the sharing of data between providers adds risk. Anytime that we use the internet, we always introduce risk to our data and to our privacy. An electronic health record system is a collection of health data about the business, the patients, doctors, nurses, and all of the entities that are involved in that process. Health data is stored as a record in a database system. And so, for example, each time that you visit the doctor would represent a record in a database. Your name and contact information would be a record in a database. A blood test, an X-ray, and so on. Each of those represents a record in a database. Therefore, as you imagined, electronic health record systems are used and maintained by healthcare providers. EHRs are also covered by HIPAA rules, HIPAA being the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, including its subsequent amendments. EHRs utilize centralized database systems to integrate patient intake, medical care, pharmacy billing, and so on into one large database system. Departments and other entities might not be in the same physical location, so this means that patient data must travel over the internet. And anytime we introduce the internet into the world of data, we introduce risk. And so you might ask, why does data have to travel over the internet at all? Well, one reason might be that a doctor's office bills an insurance company. Some of your medical information then must travel over the internet. And then lastly, people can view their own health record, taking ownership of its contents, ensuring accuracy, and even providing comments to their doctors. All of this can be maintained in an EHR system. Let's take a moment to consider some electronic health record or EHR security question and answers. And so, how is or how should my data be sent over the internet? In most cases, your data will be sent in an encrypted, secure manner over the internet. If it's not, you should question it. Is my data safe? Well, much depends on each organization's physical record and network security practices, and this is all encompassed in their security policy. But we should note that no data is 100% secure against theft or misuse, regardless of the security policy. We can improve our chances of data security by having a good policy in place and then auditing the things that we do to ensure compliance. And then lastly, who can view my medical records? Well, according to HIPAA, only those who need to know or view the contents of your health record should be able to do so. And then you must authorize all other access to your record. HIPAA, which is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, was enacted in 1996 by the U.S. federal government, and HIPAA requires that healthcare providers, insurance companies, and employers abide by privacy and security standards. And if you look at the slide notes for this slide, I've posted a link to Wikipedia's discussion on HIPAA. It's a pretty good discussion, long. You might take a moment to review it. The HIPAA privacy rule requires those covered by the Act to provide patients what's known as a notice of privacy practices when care is first provided. You might receive this when you go to a walk-in clinic or to your doctor's office, for example. The privacy rule covers paper and electronic private health information. HIPAA also incorporates a security rule, and this goes farther than the privacy rule, in that it covers administrative, physical, and technical data safeguards that must be enacted to secure electronic health record data. And so this would be really the security policy that we mentioned in this lesson, as well as how IT operates. At this point in our discussion, it's appropriate to discuss privacy and then compare it to confidentiality. And so what is privacy? Well, most privacy law revolves around privacy between a person and the government. According to Wikipedia, the law of privacy regulates the type of information which can be collected and then how this information may be used and stored. And so if we look at the basic ruling around privacy, we see that privacy relates to people. And so in our context, in our discussion, this could mean that the fact that I visited my doctor is nobody's business. This is a private matter. Now, continuing that thought, according to definition, confidentiality is not the same as privacy. According to Wikipedia, confidentiality is commonly applied to conversations between doctors and patients. Legal protections prevent physicians from revealing certain discussions with patients, even under oath in court. The rule only applies to secrets shared between physician and patient during the course of providing medical care. And so, from this definition, we infer that confidentiality relates to data, because the communication typically involves a data shared between the health provider and the patient. And so confidentiality in this context means that the things discussed with my doctor should remain between me and my doctor, their confidentiality. One could say that the fact that you visited your doctor is private, and then what you and your doctor discuss is confidential. But this is kind of a murky area, because we should also note that privacy and confidentiality are not mutually exclusive. And so with all of this in mind, what steps can we take to secure an EHR and its records? Well, we can, as we've discussed, authenticate and authorize all record access. Keep in mind that authorization includes the permissions that we've discussed, sharing and NTFS permissions when appropriate. So only those with a need to know can view medical records. Only pertinent people can actually make a change to a record, and even then, they might only be able to make a change to a record that's tied to their job. We can limit who can print electronic documents, and then all views and changes are recorded for audit. Examples: a clerk can view the dates and charges related to an office visit, but can't view anything that details the treatment that was received or the information that was discussed between patient and doctor. Another example: nurses and doctors can view medical records for patients under their care, but can't view medical records for patients they are not caring for. Other steps we've discussed include device security, so we can apply operating system critical updates immediately. Antivirus definitions or patterns are always current. We restrict physical access to servers that house medical data or database servers. And then we allow only authenticated device access. We can also secure electronic communications through encryption. All communication between an EHR system and some other device should be encrypted. We could employ a client-server environment. In this case, we would have a domain environment with a server that manages all devices and all objects. We can configure user accounts in groups and then provide permissions to groups. And we can implement network access protection mechanisms. In other words, if a device wants to connect to our network, we first examine it to see if it has critical updates applied to the operating system that's running on that device. Or we could require the device to have a virus protection software installed, or that its firewall be up, and so on. When we consider an EHR and the internet, we want to be sure to implement HTTPS for all web transactions. In other words, all communication over the internet is secure and encrypted. And then we validate all data entered into web forms before that data is stored in a database. We can perform regular audits of access and then changes to our medical records. We can implement redundant devices within our data environment. So this ensures that devices are available as expected. And then, as a side note, we can also load balance heavily used hardware devices. For example, if we have an EHR system where we see 10,000 patients per day, we might want to have more than one database system in place because of the heavy load that will be placed on these systems. And then further, what if one of the devices fails? Will we not be able to enter data for that day or until we got another device up and running? That would be unacceptable. We can also prosecute security violations vigorously. And so if somebody hacks or attempts to hack our network, we can find out who they are and then report that to the authorities. Even internal violations should be prosecuted. This would discourage others from taking the same actions. And then lastly, we want to maintain regular backups of EHR data and then secure the storage of that data so that it can't be located and used by unauthorized persons or entities.